CAP Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It has been a hectic election week with results still rolling in. On the national level, President-elect Donald Trump is set to return to the White House along with a Republican Senate, while control of the House is still undecided. Here in Sacramento, the mayoral race still up in the air, and statewide propositions to raise the minimum wage and outlaw involuntary servitude for people who are incarcerated appear to be on the way to failing. But amid all of these developments, workers across our region are assessing how these political changes, both nationally and locally, will impact their daily lives. Joining us now to talk about how this election may shape the future of labor policies and jobs is Fabrizio Sasso. He is the executive director of the Sacramento Central Labor Council, which advocates on behalf of 90 unions and 170,000 workers across six counties in our area. Fabrizio, welcome to Insight.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, you got a couple days to marinate on this. What are your reactions to Election Day? We still have results coming in, but what are your initial thoughts?
Yeah, I think locally, working people fared very well. A lot of the candidates that we supported across the six-county region are in good position to win their races. Nationally, things are very different. As you know, the national AFL-CIO, as well as a vast majority of our labor unions, endorsed Kamala Harris, and that didn't fare so well for us. And so we're evaluating, analyzing everything, and kind of looking at how we prepare ourselves for another Trump administration.
Right. And you mentioned another Trump administration. What were the learning lessons and experiences the first go around, given that President-elect Trump is going to go back into the White House?
Yeah, so we understood that his economic agenda did not include working class people. And so it was a bit surprising to see that so many of them actually voted in his favor. We saw more tax cuts for the very wealthy, deregulation of corporations, things that impact us as working people in our day-to-day lives. I think there's a feeling amongst working people that a lot of folks are financially insecure and are clamoring for something that's different than the status quo.
Do you think there could be some differences with a second Trump administration compared to the first when it comes to labor?
Even though he says he's not an advocate or behind Project 2025, we know that he's very close to the folks who put that together. And I think we anticipate that parts of Project 2025 will be implemented. We're really concerned about Schedule F, which would see some kind of ideological litmus test for government employees. That's something that we're keeping an eye on. I think, over the next 70 days with the remaining days of the Biden administration, we want to ensure that we're putting safety rails in there and hopefully can limit the headwinds that are coming our way.
Can you share some of the conversations that you're having among other top labor leaders? You mentioned you got 70 plus days.
Yeah. So nationally, we've been talking about having a plan and looking at how we can defend the rights of working people at the federal level. But most of this will happen at the state level. In California, we do particularly well. At the local level, it's about having conversations with our members directly and getting them prepared for what might be coming up ahead. So it's thinking about how we play defense and offense at the same time.
Is California immune or can buffer some of this national impact with a change in administration?
Some of it we can, and I think we've done an excellent job over the last decade of making sure that we are at the forefront of expanding workers' rights in California. We're usually the model for other states to follow. But there will be federal policies that could limit what we can do at the state and local level.
Hmm. Your labor council, you're really an umbrella group when it comes to unions across the Sacramento region, which spans six counties in our area. What local unions are you most concerned about, do you think might be most vulnerable to changes in federal policy?
Yeah, I mentioned Schedule F and the American Federation of Government Employees. They represent federal employees. That union, there are Social Security Administration, there are VA clinics, there are They're the folks who do all of the work in the administration of the federal administration. You know, the Schedule F looks very scary for those folks. And you know, your job is dependent on your loyalties to the administration and not necessarily whether or not you're skilled and qualified and can do the job properly.
Yeah. Well, when campaigning, President-elect Trump said that he wasn't going to implement Project 2025 or had no involvement in it. But from what I'm hearing from you, you don't have much confidence in that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we will see when he does take office. And I really don't know how to respond to that other than, you know, he's proven time and time again that he'll say one thing and, you know, will act upon another thing. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, we're just preparing for the eventuality that these things may be implemented and try to do our best to defend our workers.
I want to dive into some statewide propositions, and one of them, Prop 32, which was a measure to increase the minimum wage to $18 an hour by 2026. It is trailing. It hasn't been called yet. But I go back to a decade ago, the Fight for 15 campaign to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. What do you think changed between the Fight for 15 and Prop 32 this year?
Yeah, so I was very involved in the Fight for 15. I think what we saw at the polls, knowing that working people across the state and across the country are struggling financially, what we saw with this result in particular is that folks who vote generally make well above minimum wage, and the messaging around these fears of hyperinflation if you increase minimum wages, which have been proven as economists have researched, they've proven that that's not the case. They folks believe this, and voters will believe this, and they'll turn this down. The folks who are making minimum wage who would benefit from such an increase generally don't turn out to vote. And so I think that's why we're seeing this. This is kind of – I've been struggling to understand this, but that – to me, this is the best explanation as to why this is happening.
Yeah, well, the Fight for 15 campaign actually had a slogan, the Fight for 15. There was this organized push, and it seemed like with Prop 32, it was a lot quieter in terms of support. Even when I went through my ballot, there were opponents, which included the Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. the Restaurant Association, the Grocers Association, but it didn't have submitted supporters. Why do you think that is?
So, you know, as labor organizations, we do our best to communicate to our members directly. We don't have the vast resources as corporations do. So the grocers and the chambers, they are very well connected with very powerful, high moneyed interests in order to put the messaging out there that this would be bad for you. Our messaging is person-to-person contact, and so we're very limited in our resources, our financial resources, to get the message out statewide. I think there were a lot of things on the ballot that we did invest in, and unfortunately, you know, Prop 32 is not one. I'm sorry, 33 was not one of them.
32.
Sorry, 32.
Yes, 32. You were right. The first, there was 10 propositions
on the ballot.
And of course, they don't go from 0 to 1 to 10. Yeah. So no, I get it. Let's move to Prop 6, and that would end mandatory labor for people who are incarcerated in California's prisons. Did the Labor Council or did labor have a position on this?
Yeah. So we took a yes position. I mean, at the end of the day, what we're talking about is involuntary servitude and forced labor. Regardless of whether you're in prison or you're out of prison, I think we as a community should say slavery is bad. We fought a civil war over this. And so what we see happening in prisons across the state are folks who are forced to work certain jobs that they may not be skilled for. There are no OSHA standards for that. And oftentimes they don't get any kind of compensation, even though they may have families outside of the prison system. And so being told that you have to do a job instead of being a volunteer to take that position are two very different things. And I think our values as Californians to say that we should not force anyone to do things that they don't want to do it should be something that is codified in our state constitution. Unfortunately, the there was no opposition, but it still is failing. And I think, you know, we're looking at a voter sentiment that, you know, that's we need to crack down on crime and we need to be tough with prisoners. And this is time and time again shown in other countries to not be a solution to recidivism or any kind of rehabilitation within the prison service industry.
Were there any statewide propositions that I missed that Labor had a vested interest in?
Proposition 5. To build more housing, affordable housing, that passed. It lowers the threshold to 55% of voters to approve any kind of measure that would create affordable housing. That's a huge one. Of course, we're in this housing and subsequently a homelessness crisis across the state, and so this will allow more municipalities and counties to move bond measures to build this type of affordable housing.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Fabrizio Sasso from the Sacramento Central Labor Council about how the results of this election may impact workers across the Sacramento region. So we talked about national, we talked about statewide. Let's just hone in on some local races. The mayoral race, of course, in the city of Sacramento. The Labor Council, the Sacramento Labor Council, endorsed Assemblymember Kevin McCarty. And I found it interesting because also the Sacramento Metro Chamber of Commerce's Political Action Committee also endorsed McCarty. And I tend to think of chambers as endorsing more centrist or even perhaps conservative candidates, whereas Dr. Flo Kofer, who is also running for mayor, is considered more progressive. So what drew your labor council to support McCarty over Dr. Kofer?
Yeah, we endorsed McCarty very early on. As a result of his tenure in the assembly and his time as a city council member, he has voted 100% working class labor throughout his entire career. And so for us, it was, we've had relationships with him over the years. And that's primarily the reason why we endorsed him. I think after the primary, folks who had groups that have endorsed other candidates that didn't make it through the primary were left scrambling, trying to figure out who they could align themselves with. And, labor, the vast majority of our unions had supported McCarty. We also had quite a few unions that supported Ms. Kofer as well.
What do workers need for the next mayor of Sacramento? I mean, still too close to call, but one of them is going to become mayor.
Yeah, I think housing affordability is going to be the key issue here, and how we are able to build housing that working people can afford, where we can have folks own more housing, how we can build generational wealth and looking at the local economy and investing in areas where we can build that kind of generational wealth, especially in those neighborhoods that have been long forgotten. Reinvestment is key, and ensuring that we are putting together workforce development programs that have good labor standards and are attached to high rate wages, good wages, high road jobs.
Were there local measures that you were closely watching and that could have a direct impact on organized labor?
Well, there are some that may have an impact. There are school bonds across the region that we've supported because...
I think of Measure E. I mean, Measure E, there was also a measure in the county of Sacramento for school bonds as well for Sac City Unified.
Yep.
So I would imagine the Labor Council had a viewpoint on that and wanted it to pass
We supported Measure D, which is a school bond. We supported several school bonds across the region. Those create good construction jobs and careers, actually. Not jobs, but careers in the construction trades. Measure E, which was the library bond, if that fails, and it's looking pretty good right now, but we were concerned about our libraries closing a couple of days more a week from 5 to 3, and that would impact jobs with the city and with the library. So we wanted to make sure that those libraries open. Those are also community spaces, and not having libraries open where kids can go and learn and read and have a safe space where folks can gather together and use those resources. It's a big deal, and it will be also a big deal if it doesn't pass for the workers who actually work those libraries.
Finally, within the last year, there has been some strong momentum when it comes to labor and unions. I think it was coined Hot Labor Summer by California Labor Federation leader and former state legislator Lorena Gonzalez. I think about Hollywood unions. I think about hotel workers, logistics. logistics this year saw the approval of a $20 minimum wage for fast food workers, as well as the unionization of legislative staffers at the state capitol building. So what will it take to maintain this momentum?
I think the current economic climate amongst workers is there's a sense of fear and anxiety that and 60% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. So they look to the labor movement as a means to improve their situation. And we do. When we are able to get workers to stand together and sit across the table from their employers and bargain for a fair contract and fair wages and fair working conditions, they have some power and voice in their jobs, in their workplaces. And this movement is something that's very popular, and 80% of Americans who can and who would join a union if they had the opportunity to. So as a labor council, we're expanding those opportunities by focusing on organizing workplaces where we see a majority of workers wanting to organize and form a union.
Fabrizio, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Fabrizio Sasso is with the Sacramento Central Labor Council discussing how the results of this election, both nationally and locally, may impact workers across the Sacramento region. Up next, California voters appear to have approved Prop 3, enshrining the right to same-sex marriage in the California Constitution. We'll speak with a longtime LGBTQ plus advocate about the significance of this measure, as well as the impact of the election on the Sacramento arts community. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.